There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it." Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." Nicodemus asked, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" Jesus said, "You're a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up. And everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed, by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God.
That is a long scripture. Thank you for standing for that long. Sometimes we jump right away to John 3:16 and forget about the conversation that it's a part of. It's part of a bigger story, the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the word Pharisee before. Okay, a Pharisee is part of the ruling Jewish council, and Pharisees were often criticized by Jesus and by John the Baptist because they did a really good job of separating themselves from anything that wasn't Jewish. And so Jewish law, everything was about being Jewish, and if anybody deterred from that at all, the Pharisees really wanted to have nothing to do with them. As a result, the Pharisees had actually become, in Jesus and John's eyes, slaves to the laws of Moses and slaves to the Old Testament teachings, and shunning everyone and everything else that wasn't. Unfortunately, though, our story is about Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is a little bit different than his fellow Pharisees. Nicodemus, worried about appearances still, goes to Jesus in the night. The scripture tells us he goes to see Jesus in the dark of night. And he has this encounter with Jesus because he wants to hear the teachings of Jesus from the voice of Jesus. And we discover pretty quickly that in this conversation together, things aren't going very well. I had us do the message version of the Bible because we get to see a real sense of how Jesus is viewing this conversation with Nicodemus. Here's one of the ways that it's not going well for Nicodemus. Jesus says in verses 5 and 6, "You're not listening." Right? "You're not listening. Come on, let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation." And Nicodemus knows about that story. It's in Genesis 1. He was taught that story. He teaches that story. He's read that story many times. But he's saying, unless you submit to that original creation, that baptism in new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. So he's saying, I know you know the stories, but this is something even more. And then imagine that in this counter, when he's saying that you're really not listening, he thinks that Nicodemus isn't grasping the conversation that they're having. And it doesn't get any better, really, for a while, because Jesus goes on to say in verses 10 to 12, he says, "Aren't you a respected teacher of Israel, and yet you don't know the basics?" He's assuming he does, but he's kind of saying, well, maybe you don't know the basics. "So listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. So I'm giving you this story that's something different than you've heard before. You know the scriptures, you should know the scriptures, but I've got more to tell you." According to Jesus, he's telling Nicodemus that there's enough written in the Old Testament to point towards Jesus and what Jesus comes to represent. Still, Nicodemus is having trouble grasping the idea of being born from above. He even says, can I go back into my mother's womb? How can I do that? I'm a grown man, right? That's a kind of a disturbing passage for him to hear. But he doesn't understand that what he's talking about is entering, or this being born from above is being born by the Spirit. And of course, we have John 3:16. This is how much God loved the world, that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, not to destroy the world, but for those that believe to have an everlasting life. Of course, you're probably familiar with the version that Melinda talked about at the beginning. Say it with me. "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You may have learned it a slightly different begotten Son, right? We learn that in order to have eternal life, there's just one critical thing. And what's that? Belief in Jesus Christ, who also is God. So you're right, Leah. You're right. Thanks for saying that. You see, Nicodemus, in this encounter with Jesus, is starting to embrace some change for himself in his life. We don't actually get to know what the result of this conversation is with Nicodemus and Jesus. We assume that Nicodemus comes to believe in Jesus, but we don't actually get to know. But we do know that he's starting to realize that understanding and following Jewish law is not enough, and that change isn't just about reading the Bible and knowing the Bible. Change means that at the heart level, something different is happening. We talked in confirmation today about sin and about belief, and how when we say we believe in Jesus, we can't just say we believe in Jesus. We have to believe it in our heart that we believe in Jesus. That God has this, that in our hearts we believe that God sent his Son for us. Nicodemus is struggling with this change, struggling with being a Pharisee and a follower of Jewish law, and trying to come to terms with something different, a new way of looking at God. Change is hard, right? Nah, change is easy, right? Raise your hand if you think change is easy. Anyone? No, change is hard. It really is hard. And being born anew is really hard for Nicodemus. But really what's hard about change is that we have to leave something else behind, something that we've long held on to, a habit, a belief, a pattern, something that's familiar. We have to leave it behind to be something different. There's fear in loss, fear in losing that which we're leaving behind. I'd like you to think about something that maybe you'd like to change about yourself. Just think of something. Would you like to be thinner or taller or younger or older? Change your hair color, your eye color, have more money, have a different job. These are all outward things. Maybe you'd like to change something else about yourself, your health, your desire to be more patient, to be more talented, to handle money better, to be more patient with others, creative, more organized. It seems natural to dream about changing and about doing something different. Our media does a really good job. Advertisers know that we're sort of insecure about who we are, and they give us all these options for a better life. If you do this, if you just change and do this, then things will get better. And even self-help books. If you go to a bookstore, there's aisles and aisles and aisles of self-help books. Recognizing that we want to change, we don't know how to do it, and we know it's hard. For me, I'll just fess up. I wish I were a little thinner. And the longer I serve as your pastor, you'll get to see my weight fluctuate up or down. That's just the way it is. That's how I roll. It's one of my insecure sides, and I'm not very tall, so it really shows. I exercise, I eat right, but the scale doesn't lie, right? You look at the scale and it doesn't lie. And every day I look in the mirror and discover that it's the same person looking back at me. Thought I was eating better and exercising more, and my pants still don't fit. You know, right? Right? That's what happens, because that's how we roll. I read the Made to Crave book, the study that they're going to do, and that has helped me to focus more of my attention on God and less of my attention on the food I eat and the way I look. But at the heart, it's what matters, right? Down deep inside us. Real change happens down inside of our hearts. It's hard to embrace change. It's hard to think about doing something different. What habits do you need to change? Ultimately, we're talking about what Nicodemus is talking about, which is changing to be more like Jesus Christ. Changing the way we think so that we embrace that we need to be born from above, embracing that we recognize that Jesus is the Son of God who came to bring us everlasting life. I invite you to think about what these next weeks, months, next year looks like, and how might you change to be more like Jesus? How might you change to follow Jesus more closely, to maybe join a gig or teach a gig or spend more time in prayer? Jesus calls us to change who we are, to be more like him. That's really what the conversation with Nicodemus was all about. In verses 17 and 18, after John 3:16, we're so very familiar with that passage. But after that, it says, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, okay? To say, you're not doing things right. God sent Jesus to tell the world that he came to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in Jesus can be a part of putting the world right again. It's hard to grasp being born from above. It's hard to grasp doing things different for Jesus Christ. But our individual walk is really what it's all about. When we embrace change in our faith walk. We're talking about doing things just a little bit different. Change your ways to follow Christ more intimately. This journey through Lent is about our walk with Jesus and being more intimate with our Lord. What's stopping you from embracing some change in your life to get closer to Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask that you refresh us with your Spirit. We ask that you help us to change to be more like you. Change is hard, Lord, so we ask that you walk with us every day, every hour, every minute of our lives. Amen.